Okay, we got kids.
Hopefully, it'll get my feet in this.
No, girl.
Well, I'm trying to get situated. I wish I had it back.
All right. You have to lean forward with neck up.
I'm sure
we're good. All right.
Good to go.
Okay. First of all, I got to start with some of the parties that have been going on, right?
Yeah.
So Christmas season, the event. I mean, I'm impressed. I've never seen anything like the stamina you guys have to go to Big Mom's meeting and then the client party and our party. It's the stamina is quite amazing.
It's a gift.
How you holding up?
It's really a gift.
Running
out. It's a gift. We're getting there.
Well, let me ask something. You go to a couple parties, you got a ton of moms in town. So let's talk about being a realtor, making people feel comfortable in the environment that they're in. So a lot of people come to Vienna, they're from out of town.
Yeah.
Right? And you were at a party the other night, there's probably 20 moms, and a lot of them, had come from out of town, not exactly Vienna moms, but trying to meet Vienna moms.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's, a lot of the things that we try to do is we have so many clients who are coming in from Arlington, but from New York, California, and they're moving into Vienna. And obviously part of our job as being realtors, you want to be an advocate for Vienna when you're trying to get them in. But
right.
Then it's introducing them to the town and introducing them to other people that you think that they would click with.
I pull them to the environment.
I love being able to be like, I know this person, I feel like you two would get along, so I'm going to introduce you, and I think you and this person will get along. You two won't get along, so I'll get you two apart. That'll work.
You guys take the let's get the community together aspect of this to like such a level.
But it's so
that nobody. I know it's fun, but who has 700 people come by for their Christmas event?
I mean,
we had 700 people in the office over a 2-day period for our client party plus stroll.
Mm-hmm.
It's the damnest thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's funny because and there's more people who are like reaching out who want to come, and we don't have the stamina for it. So next year we'll have to pivot and see if we need to call people in to work it. Because at the end of the day, we want people to enjoy and see it, and we have a hard time saying no to people. If you want to see it, of course I want you to. The end of the day, we run ourselves into the ground a little,
right.
But
I think the good part is, so we're gonna finish it up. You got other things going on, but with the event of the kids in Vienna, the kids that we want to reach out to, give them gifts for their parents as well, if we can, invite them all to the office, let them enjoy it, do their scavenger hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. This year will be the first run at it, get 40 kids, but every elementary school has 30 or 40 kids.
It is.
So we got to open this up. So next year, one of the functions is going to be the chairman of this is getting all these 100, 150 kids, 200 kids in to see it, do the scavenger hunt, have gifts.
It's going to keep growing because, even at an event we were at the other night, talking to one of our friends. She works at one of the schools, and she has a lot of insight of some of these kids who would love to come in, might not be a part of this group.
We'll open it up next year.
Exactly.
Next year, that will be the goal.
And then there was a lot of people in Vienna who showed up. It wasn't just people bringing things for, our clients. And we put it out to the Vienna public, and we had a lot of people show up that it's not that I was expected, I didn't know you were coming, but that's so sweet that you
brought it
there. So there's a lot of people who...
But they're still more than willing to drop them off.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It is about the giving, and that's the real Christmas spirit. So that's a good way to end this off. We'll expand it next year.
Absolutely.
Okay? All right. So... We're going to get into two things today, okay? The 12 commandments that we put in place because 2025 was a dumpster fire.
It's a lot.
No, it's not a lot. It was a freaking dumpster fire. Now, you guys have been in real estate for years and years, but I've been in it for 41 years. I've never seen what's happened this year in 41 years of being in real estate. And that is...
Really?
Just a quick summary of what happened.
Like good or bad?
Well, here's the thing. You don't feel it. You're focusing on every deal, yeah. Right? I'm looking at what's happening, how it's affecting the market. Now the market is flowing, whether it's more of a seller's market or buyer's market. That ebb and flow was, you know, because I'm directing traffic.
Yeah.
Watching it, I couldn't really believe what I was seeing. So let's just start with three main events that happened in 2025 that really changed the direction. And again, we have to stay focused on selling houses. So we're just reading the market and reacting to it. But the first one is that the tariff war did disrupt the economy and really froze a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay. So immediately the market started to cool off. All right. And then, even more importantly, for this area than anywhere else in the country, Doge kicked in. Mm-hmm. Who's getting fired? How many people are going to lose their jobs? How many people are going to lose their contracts? You know, we're going to cut back this contract. Everyone's on edge.
Yeah, people still just have anticipation that they might be fired.
And we had, you know, we had people close to us who were, and, you know, a lot of people were affected.
So we're going to a lot of people, houses, and going, I'm not fired yet, but I think I'm going to be fired.
Yeah.
So tell me what it's going to take to sell my house. And some people did get fired. Okay.
Yeah.
Some people we did have to help bail out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Doge and the cutbacks and the contracts, whether it's good or bad for the economy, and most people think it is good because you do want to cut waste and all that stuff, and corruption, fraud, waste. We want to cut that out. But again, coming at it with a sledgehammer, it affects everybody. So the first was the tariff war, then it was Doge. Now we're getting almost into June, and you know what happens in June? We go down in June, and we don't need help. We don't need any help for the market to go down in June.
June, normally when we're talking to sellers and we're saying, get out, let's get your house on the market. I mean, June 15th is pretty much our cutoff where we say, let's go until, you know, that June 15th. Obviously, the people who have to sell.
When you have to sell. If you want to sell, do it before June 15th.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to sell, any time is good. We just have to compete a little bit more.
Yeah.
And the prices go down from July 1 through the end of the year, okay? So, and we saw that, 9% fall and all this. And in the middle of all of that, they shut the government down. So, and they shut it down for a period of time that extended far beyond the normal theatrics, okay? Yeah. It might have been the longest shutdown
ever. LS.
And I remember back to, I think it was 95 or 96, we were holding on by our fingernails to the market. Newt Gingrich shut the government down. And I'm telling you, it was just like this. As soon as it happened, everybody just went, fuck, heck with it. And you didn't know where the bottom was. We didn't have a good economy. It wasn't real strong, but it killed us. It killed the market in 95, 96, whatever that happened. I'll never forget. It was like we're hanging on by a thread. So it wasn't that bad this time. We had already corrected. We were kind of on a downward slide to the end of the year. But it still had that negative effect. We started to come back a little bit. Then the government shut down. And I was like, thanks, guys.
Yep.
So you're going to see sales in 2025 that are lower than 23 and 24 in most towns and counties throughout Northern Virginia. And you can't compare us to a national trend because our company is the federal government. That's our company.
Mm-hmm.
And our company was going through a big cutback and shutdown. So it affected our area. You have to know, how did we do? So at the end of all of that, we saw the same year as 2023, which sucked, 2024, which sucked, 2025 sucked, but it sucked in that was surprising was we were going.
We were booming.
Yeah.
It was a great year.
We were on 40 or 50% in January and February. We were like, got it. Here we go. We're coming back. And then all of a sudden, slam into the iceberg. So, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying what happened was wrong. You need to break some eggs to make an omelet. You need to take two steps back to get a running start. Are we stronger that all the tariffs are? And again, that's not my job. My job is sell houses. But if you go, China's charging us 40%. We're not charging them a nickel, which should be even. I'm like, if a business guy, I'm like, that makes sense to me.
Sure.
You know, that all makes sense to me. So you understand it's got to happen and there are benefits, but holy shit, this guy was fire and exit people.
Yeah.
And it was very unnerving.
But it was unnerving, so it shut things down a little. But what we saw was it did kind of slow things down when normally it might be a little bit more active. And I think that it kind of just pushed it to where, you know, things kind of picked up in October, November. And
yeah.
And we kind of are seeing more activity right now that we normally would see at this time of year.
I mean,
so with the houses that we've sold, I mean, it all of a sudden picked up in November. Where normally it might have been a little slow. I think it just kind of deferred the buyers.
Pushed them.
Yeah.
It pushed them on. So what we're going to do in 2026 is I'm going to bring back the index that I had in the 1990s, which was that charted consumer confidence for sellers and charted consumer confidence for buyers. And we're going to plot that. And what that does is when that goes up, 2 months later, you'll start seeing inventory going up. Two months after that, you'll start seeing sales going up. But the leading indicator is the consumer confidence.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I'll bring that back. We'll pull 100 top producers. We'll get an index every month. So it's going to tell us something's happening. Is it affecting the confidence of the sellers and the buyers?
Mm-hmm.
Had we had that this year, we would see the tariffs that are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd see how is DOGE affecting consumer confidence? So we'll bring that back in 2026. It'll be an exciting year. And, you know, we'll talk about what's ahead for 2026. But I will tell you, it was so bad. It was so bad that we developed 12 commandments that you cannot break. Before there were rules or protocols. It's like, look, you know, these are our rules. Let's not break the rules. And we were okay. And I will tell you, you guys are excellent at following the rules and making sure people do what they have to do. All the credit to you guys.
Well, and the things that we come up with, because we have so much experience in the transactions that we've seen, every time something happens, we make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Right.
Every time something goes wrong, it's like, how do we, you know, avoid that the next time?
Any situation that we don't follow the rules.
It does.
Right.
And it's like, and that's why you have to do hundreds and hundreds of transactions in order to know.
To establish your
rules. Yeah. And to realize what works and what doesn't, where you literally cannot stray from this.
So let's look at what did and didn't. If somebody is supposed to fix up their floors and paint their house and doesn't do it, they're going to lose.
Yep.
So is that a commandment that you have to get your house prepared? The answer is yes. You must. You don't have the luxury of going off half-cocked.
Yep.
Now, yesterday, Kelly and I were in a $4 million house, and the walls were yellow. And the hardware was whatever. And it doesn't matter if it's a $4 million listing or not. The color is wrong, and the hardware is wrong. And the meeting we had was so much different than I think it would have been at the beginning of 2025, where I know it's a big house, you don't want to paint it. It's like, okay, we can try and get
it. I'm careful. It's $20,000.
So what I think is so funny is sometimes it's like, you know, why do we go in a house that's 1.2 or something like that needs work? And then it's like, you have to do this. But yet in a bigger house where it's like, obviously these people have a lot of money and we're like,
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why. This is why
it's hard for people to.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're dealing with a lot different seller
who thinks they know everything.
Anytime.
Yeah.
They not that they know it, but they're running things. They run the show. They know what they want, and they say, I don't want to paint. And I would tell you this. She said, we don't want to paint. And Kelly's like, we're definitely going to paint. Because if you don't, you're going to lose $300,000.
Yep.
I'm just telling you, you're going to lose $300,000. We don't want to do that. So the reason why realtors get away with it, why they go into three or four, three agents went into Heinz and told that seller, you don't need to do anything. Because there's been no pay, no carpet, 25 years.
Because they become yes men because they need the listing.
They want the list. Number one, they want the listing. Yeah. Number two, they don't want to do that work. Do you have any idea what you have to do to fix it? Well, yes.
And what it comes down to sometimes with these bigger houses are people, they will have these designers who come in, but they're not designing it for like the masses, right? They're designing it for your particular taste. And if you tell them you want this or that, they're going to literally mold it into what? Like, for example, when we did that house in Clifton, I can't think of the name, but with the like yellowish trim, okay. You know? I mean, that you walk in, it's like, yes, this is a very Southern living home. I get it. But in photographs, it's not going to, it was warm and whatnot, but it just didn't work. And she paid a lot of money for someone to come in and tell her exactly that color to do and to live there. It was great. But we needed to pivot in order to sell. And
that was in like Southern Living Magazine.
She got like a good designer, but it just didn't, it wasn't going to appeal to.
But the problem is every once in a while we'll give some leeway and go, maybe. And then get slammed right in our face and say, you did it. You felt bad for a seller that had cancer, was having problems, and so you felt sorry for them and didn't.
Okay, they just painted and it was just enough where we could let it slide. And then I let it slide and I am kicking myself every day because people said, I feel like it feels dated in here. And I'm like, the only difference between this and the house down the street that, you know, just sold at a premium is because they had already painted. We didn't have them paint. I mean, because we sold five houses in the neighborhood, and I let this slide. You know,
we had people that were neighbors that already lived in the neighborhood. They came in there and saw that house, and they were like, "It looks so dated compared to the other house." And the houses were near identical.
They were near identical, and it was the paint. It's because they didn't do the paint, and that was just so eye opening to us. Where it's like, yeah,
but then we pivoted in the cutting period, and we went in and we redid floors and redid a couple of rooms.
Yeah,
I mean, we did some stuff just to try to get out of the front. Mm-hmm.
Right, but I will tell you that 2025, we're going to play hardball too. Not not meaning hardball 2026, not hardball that, but you have to play hardball. If you play softball and you go out without doing the floors or without paying the house, you are not going to sell. And then you want to miss the $1.5 million threshold by putting it at $1.55, you know, so again, that was breaking two or three commandments. So we went over the first seven. So I'm walking into number eight, right? The eighth commandment, okay?
What's the eighth commandment?
The eighth commandment is you have to address the objections. Everybody has an objection.
Yes.
When I go around the house, I'm looking for what is the deal killer? What is not, why will a person not buy this?
And again, that's what a lot of people avoid because, you know, agents might not want to tell you something. You're walking into someone's home and it's a little uncomfortable to tell them, hey, people are not going to want your home because of this. You know, there's a big red flag here and that's going to hold us back. But if you don't address it, I mean, in the long run, you're going to lose. So it's like,
even if you don't address it, it's having a solution to the objection.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like if we go into one of these older houses and it's, you know, tiny closets, but there's a large sitting room, and we get Jimmy in or somebody in there, and we go, how much is it going to cost to knock this out, put in a giant master closet, and still have functionality here?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, now we know. So when people come in and they say, I love the house where the master closet is tiny, here we go. Exactly. This is your solution. It costs
exactly. Exactly.
The benefit of doing,
giving them the vision.
Yeah.
$80 million, $100 million, over $1.5 million, or whatever it is, the benefit of doing that is we could be, we don't care if we get the listing or not because we have listings. We can be very honest with this is what you've got to do. And realtors should do that too. Realtors can't fear not getting that listing.
Is your time some, is money too. You want people
some to only have it. Two or three of those listings a year. And they're afraid to tell them because they don't want to piss them off.
Become yes men.
They don't want to lose the listing.
Yeah.
But so it's two things. The commandment is we have to see what are their objections going to be first. And then we have to respond with what are all the great things about this house. I mean, the laundry list of all the things. That room is big. The lot is great. The schools are good. So what's your objection? I hear you. Let me tell you how to solve that. Mm-hmm. And then here's all things you have to consider.
And you have to be creative. You have to be creative and figure out ways to communicate that to the buyer of why this is not an issue. For example, I won't say the name, but there was a house that we recently sold where everyone was worried because it's on a corner. Can you see in? And we were talking to the buyer and I said, look, let me put it to you this way. I've driven by here hundreds of times. I've always wanted to know what this backyard has looked like. And I've never seen it until I walked through these doors. And he was like, wow. I never thought of it like that.
What is your objection? Solve it.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to figure out, you've got to be have the guts to say, what do you think is wrong with this house?
Yeah.
And then let's
and you have to make it.
Because you're going to go home and you're going to say it to your wife or your husband and say, I don't know because of this. Let's flush it out.
We try to figure out what's wrong before the buyers do so we can have a defense. Because right. You can't be sitting there with a buyer saying something, have an objection. Then you'd be like, that's a good point. Like, I need to know anything that they can say wrong, we're going to have something to come back at you immediately. And we're going to spin it.
And in talking to them about their concerns, right? Why are you moving in? What are you doing? The concern of one of the buyers was, I don't feel like I'm a part of the community out there in Great Falls, right? And before it was over, you had her partying with everybody in Vienna, right? You're going to be such a part of these Vienna mobs, and we got you.
You want to be introduced to Vienna.
But you hit the nerve. You hit the nerve on what are you really looking for, and what is it you're after? Yeah. And drawing the picture around that was really masterful. So what do we get? You got a house, 74 homes are on the market. Get your arms around this. 74 homes are on the market. Not one is under contract. Not one. They either withdrew, unsold, or sat there active. This is in between $2.5 and $3 million, Vienna, Arlington, and McLean. So, knowing you, they're looking at 74 houses done under contract.
Mm-hmm.
You had two people coming in all cash, fighting it out for a house, because one wants now has to be a part of Vienna, the Vienna moms. This is exciting. That's what you wanted. And the other one loves the house, but there's a little concern on the traffic.
Yeah.
Traffic is on the corner. And when we address it, when you hit him with that, then he dropped his defenses. The other buyer dropped their defenses, and both came in with all cash.
Like everything we're saying is absolutely true, because you just have to make them see the positive. Because if you're not familiar with the area, if you're not familiar with Vienna, I wouldn't be able to make him realize that, look, if you're pulling out on one of these main streets, if you want to walk to Vienna, you might be pulling out on Center Street, on somewhere that's busy, where you have to wait for people to stop. Your driveway's on the other side, so you're pulling out. Oh, good point. Okay. All right. You're coming up to a four-way stop. Everyone's slowing down right here. Other streets, they're flying by. Okay, that's another good point.
You're not double yellow.
Yeah, exactly. Where a lot of people, you know, they just don't know that about the community or the houses. So we just...
What are they going to object to? How do we solve it? And how do we give them the benefits of this house?
Mm-hmm.
So again, now there was one house under contract and 73 that were not under contract. And that's how that happened. Mm-hmm. So the next one is open houses. Open houses are a must. I know, you know, people don't like doing open houses.
I love it.
I know, because that's where the buyers are. They're not in your house. They're not at Bugarotti's. They're in that house on Sunday afternoon.
Yep. Well, here's the big reason why I think open houses are so important, where we're going to probably start saying, we need to do more. Send your buyers to it, because I don't think anyone can sell the house.
They don't relay the information.
When we show up to appointments, you know, where we're going to be showing the house with the agent. But, this house, the agent, and I'm not saying this about all agents. I mean, obviously, everyone, they're very good at their jobs, but there are some, they don't know the home like you do, what you're selling, and there are certain things that need to be told to them. So at an open house, that's your chance to interact with the buyers. Yes. Tell them what they need to know, tell them about the community. This is how we've met some of our buyers coming into Vienna, who then fell in love, whether they bought that house or not, but they fall in love with the community and then want to come in and buy another house.
We can sell certain aspects when we're actually talking directly with the buyers that, you know, another agent that's in there doesn't do. just for example, we're on Easy Street talking to all the buyers. I mean, we had 100 people do that open house. But telling people that the seller was a builder with joy. This is
right.
$4 million, $5 million, $6 million houses, McLean, high-end builder. All the construction you see here is done the quality
higher end
with the same subs that you see in these high-end homes. So, I mean, literally everything in here is so well
done. You're walking into a $3 million kitchen.
Nobody would know.
They're paying, you know.
They just walk in, they go, nice quartz countertops.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I don't understand that. The bottom line is, you guys, we're the advocates for the town.
Yeah.
The key thing for our marketing is we're trying to get somebody. Now, this is what happened. That buyer came from Great Falls.
Yeah.
The other buyer came from Middleburg. Do you think their agents really know Vienna?
No.
No, they don't. So in order to paint the proper picture of why Vienna, why you have to live here, by the time you're done with that painting, she's like, I don't care about buying this house or any other house. I'm moving into Vienna.
Yeah.
Because I've got to live here. Nobody can be an advocate for your community like we are.
Yeah.
Okay?
We sell Vienna so hard.
It's an easy sale.
It is.
And Oakton.
Of course, But, you know, we're slightly biased, but there's nothing that we're saying that isn't 100% true.
Yeah.
Right.
It's because we're passionate about it. Yeah. What I'm saying is actually true, and I get excited to the point where I'm like, all right, calm down.
Why are we so hyped?
That's why as a team, we have to have somebody that really knows that market. So I'll go in as a business partner and figure out pricing and all that stuff. Somebody's got to be the lifestyle person that knows Haymarket. Like, it's Haymarket. Johnny knows Haymarket like nobody else.
So funny you said that, because we were at somewhere and they said, hey, Morgan, you know, I think we want to work with you and your team. Do you do Haymarket? And it's like, look, I'm going to steer you in the best direction.
Yeah.
And you know who does know Haymarket? Johnny T.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, you know, I'll pass you along to him and let him take
it. Somebody asked me about subdividing a farm out there. I was like, you got to call Johnny.
Call Johnny.
So we'll push you in the right direction of wherever you're going. We'll have the best person there to take care of you, you know?
Whether Ferris Arnoldi or somebody in an area like Ashford. I'll get somebody for Ashford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll find somebody in that area, Arlington. You know, when I sit down, you got to have Arlington person knows that place backwards and forwards. You know? They're the lifestyle side of the agent. That's why it's difficult when you have one agent.
Mm-hmm.
If you go in all alone, are they a lifestyle agent or are they a business kind of agent? You got to have both. You got to have the lockdown, market conditions, pricing. What are your protocols? What are your commandments? How do you make sure you do it? And then somebody else that can talk to the buyers, sell the story. I mean, you're a storyteller. You were telling that lady a story. And I mean, she was buying an oak line and sticker. It was wonderful. And she's going to have a wonderful life in Vienna because of that.
You know what I mean? Wait, we're already best friends.
Right.
So.
We're all best friends. Everybody is best friends.
Come to my party tomorrow night.
We're best friends.
So the open house is all the key. Gives us an opportunity to tell the town and sell what it is. All right?
Yeah.
What's number 10? Number 10 is encourage the highest best offers. Real simple. This is a business. This is a business, right? I mean, you're selling your home. You're emotional. But this is a business transaction, and the best way to do a business transaction is make a bid, and make it a blind bid. Don't let them say, some contracts will allow an escalation clause. I know when you're buyer agents, you love it.
Oh, I love it with it. You know, I came across it. We always say highs and best, no escalation. That's our thing.
Right.
And you know, some people question me. I'm like, cases protocol, sorry.
Man.
Can't not do it. But, you know, I'll come across people. But that's why I'm like, can you shut up? Can we stop sharing all of our secrets? Because then I have a buyer. I come up with someone. I love your podcast. I've listened to Coffee with Casey. Highs and best by Monday. I'm like, you bitch.
I know.
Hey.
Well, we only have 40 people watching.
That's not fair. We have, and I'm like,
but the bottom line is a buyer wants something and a seller wants something. What's in the best interest of the buyer is do an escalation.
Yes.
I'll take the top contract.
Because it makes sure that it's fair. That's actually something that said to me. I said, do you allow escalation clauses? She said, yes, because I just think it's fair. And I was like, I am with you. It is fair. But if you're working for the seller, you need to do what's in best interest for them. If you're working on the buyer, of course.
It's a huge benefit for everybody.
And that agent was working for the seller, though.
We play hardball.
People don't like to hear when you say no escalations.
We play softball or hardball. We're playing hardball.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money at stake.
Yeah.
So we play hardball, but in a sense that's good for the seller, but we're not bluffing, okay? So we just had this instant, and I'm telling you, there's two offers, and they're both great offers, and I know that this other one wants it so bad, and we have, you know, the two, and we're going back and forth, and I said, look, we're not going to counter. We're not going to do this. They want it, but they just don't want to overpay, and I said, that's fine. At the end of the day, we're gonna choose the best offer. I'm going back. I'm giving you one last chance. Didn't change their offer because they thought that I was bluffing, and that the other, they lost. They are still reaching out to me probably every other day saying, like, can we buy out the other, like, contract? Like, they're picking themselves. And so at the end of the day, you know, we're doing what's best for our sellers, but we're not just blowing smoke up people's ass. No. Like, to give us your highest and best, and we're going to just go with the best offer we get, period.
Asking for highest and best offers is hardball.
Yeah.
It is not, it's not what the buyer's agents want to hear, but it's what the sellers need to get. We're moving on to number 11.
All right.
And this is an absolute coach's rule. The wilder a game gets,
what?
It's so funny that you said that, because I was like, I had to look at 11. I had this conversation with our seller this morning, because Aaron and we were giving you props because things are going wild. And I was like, you know what my dad always tells us? He said, the crazier things get, the calmer you need to be. And then I'm like, shut up! Anyway, every time the kids are going, I'm like, stay calm, stay calm. Get out of there!
Stop hitting your sister!
He's on fire!
He's mad at home.
So, yeah. So, like, try to stay calm. So, you've always said that it's the coach in you that become, because you can't be going nuts.
A sense, though, we need to bring that home.
I do try to bring it home. It's just that.
It's great advice.
I will tell you.
It's too crazy.
That anything,
kids don't respond.
The rules go from football to life to your family to business to everything. It just, that's the way it has to be. The crazier it gets, the calmer you get. You got to think. You got to focus. There's a lot of money at stake in business. So we can't go on an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
If you go on an emotional roller coaster, you will not have the energy to negotiate properly.
And because the sellers will be on the emotional roller coaster, you have to stay calm and say, okay, this happened, now what? I mean, it's the same as, you know, 2 days before settlement, a tree just fell on the house. What do we do? I mean, no one freaks out here. It's like, everyone, stay calm.
Figure it out.
What do we do? And boom, 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 got to sell, everything's fine.
Let me just get a personal thing on this. Stay calm.
Oh, great.
I was talking to a seller, and they were trying to get us to cover commission. And I am furious. And I'm like, what are you? I started talking, and then I started blurring my voice. And I was like, now, and I went.
Oh, God, this was your stroke.
Yeah, I looked at Carol, and I went, I said, call 911, I'm having a stroke. And I sat down, and I mean, those ambulance guys were there. They got me in the hospital. Everything was moving just fast. There was no panic. There was no, you know, Carol didn't freak out. Everything was very calm. It's just very procedural. You go in, and it was nice enough that they do it on June the 30th, right as the market is calming down.
Perfect.
I was sitting there going, I'm like, you're going, this is pretty good timing for me.
Yes. To tell you the truth,
it was perfect timing. Clear enough.
You're going a little slow.
But when you talk about going from business to football to personal,
maybe you need your, well, now you're working on your blood, but you're like, everyone stay calm. What do you mean? I'm like, all right, well, is that the one time you didn't stay calm? Look, you didn't stay calm. He stroked out.
I know what it said.
Someone hit a cord with him.
And
he broke the protocol and had a stroke. So you gotta calm down. Everyone stay calm.
Like I said, these are not rules. These are commandments.
These are commandments.
Stay calm.
Is that what we're going to talk about? They're going to be like, oh, he had a stroke. And you're going to say, I broke number 11.
I broke my 11th commandment. And I was in the hospital. And the last thing I remember is the emergency room nurse was beautiful.
I know. You keep talking about it. We had the last thing.
I thought that was the last thing I was going to say. I did not panic, but I did think she was the last answer to say, and I just wanted her to know. I was trying to tell her.
Joe, right, going out like this?
Beautiful. But I couldn't get
that's her. Hold on. So that's his last words. Be honest. He has my mom there. He has me, Carol, here. There. His last words are telling the nurse, you're beautiful. Like, all right, you can't say, like, I love you guys. Like,
I was coming. That was
it. Like, maybe, like,
got the importance.
You know, yeah.
Tracy Sampson out.
So, but that would be your last word.
All right. All right, the last one.
Don't want to tell us anything important.
The last one. Yeah, this is important, too.
Where's your whittle?
All right. All right. So the last commandment is... don't let the buyers and sellers meet, because for whatever reason, it's not good. It doesn't end well. Quick example. I have all the furniture in the basement to give away, right? He's not taking it. I'm using that as a bargaining chip, should they do an inspection, which they did. And this is years ago. And
I know exactly which one. The note.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different one.
But
that's funny.
He had all the best. So they come in, they say, we want $12,000 for the home inspection items. And I said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you $25,000 worth of stuff in the basement to offset that. And then the buyer goes, oh, no, I already got that.
Already gave it to me.
What do you mean? He already gave it to you. Where did you see him? Well, he came over doing the home inspection. He just said, you can have it all.
Yeah.
So now the buyer wants 12 grand. That greedy suck wanted 12 grand and the furniture. My seller took great offense at, which I don't blame him. I actually he's furious.
Yeah.
Right? So then we went from a nice, easygoing settlement to a freaking war. I mean, it was a war. Now emotions are involved.
Yeah.
And I don't give a crap about money or settling or, you know, I'm not selling my house to that guy. So you can't, because then they are strong. They're very tight. They're on the teeter-totter, and they're at the very top. It's emotional. You know, their feelings may get hurt or whatever. Just can't have a meet. You know, you got to separate them. We'll see everybody. It's a business deal. We'll sign our documents. You sign your documents. We'll talk.
It just has to be a rule that you stick with because, you know, for like a transaction we're working on now, I know for a fact that after all is said and done and they're still going to live next to each other,
best friends.
They're going to be great friends. However, we and there's so many events where we're like, oh, we could bring both or whatever, but we just we stick to protocol. Look, you get upset, you have a stroke, period. All right? So you don't say that. You got to follow the rules, all right? Just no matter what, all right?
So that's the last one we have. That's our last protocol is buyers don't meet sellers. But I will tell you that all of these went from rules to protocols, and now they're commandments. When you have a year, 3 years like we just had, including a very, well, how bad is it? The only people selling right now, now get your arms around this, the only people selling are people that have to sell. Death, divorce, downsizing, loss of job, loss of contract, they've got to sell the house. So these are not people that want to sell. These are people that have to sell. 40% of the homes are not selling. They're withdrawing. Now, if you've ever had a house that's been on the market for a year or 12 months or I'm sorry, 6 months, right? 3 months. Nobody's going to buy it. Nobody's gonna, you know you're going through hell. That is an emotional roller coaster that we don't want to get on. So, you know, these people are really up against the wall with having to sell a house, then they can't sell a house. Then when they finally do sell a house, but back on the market, they're losing $100,000 to $150,000. So that is why this has been elevated to a commandment that you can't make a mistake in today's market. So I think in this market, number two is you know, you can't go with number two. You got to have the best. You got to work with the best. And if somebody comes to your house, they have got rules and commandments, and they know what they're doing in the business side and a lifestyle side, and they have a great track record, knock yourself out. If they don't, get somebody else, okay? You've got to have all those buttons pushed in the market where you go.
And the reason that we're able to execute all of this and we have these commandments is because we have the pieces in place where you are, where you work and do, you know, the market side, the pricing side. You're the engine that's behind the scenes doing everything, and we're out and about. Do you think that we could be out and about and doing what we do without having you giving us the information you do? I mean, yeah, we both could sit behind a computer and eventually do it, but
it's
that takes...
It's all components working together.
It's all working together. I mean, you just can't do everything yourself, period.
But that's the key, and that's why when one person walks in your house, it makes it very difficult, because your guys...
You're missing one of those. There's one of those that is missing.
Your guys' work and my work is nothing. If we can't get it produced by our back office, by Julie in the back office, if it can't be professionally done with great pictures, great videos, great websites, great marketing, targeting people, that house had buyers that are coming from
LA.
Yeah, well, no, you had one from Middleburg and one from Great Falls. Well,
another one's coming.
It just doesn't happen. So it's a threesome that makes it in. You can't afford Julie or back office if you're one agent.
Mm-hmm.
And we could not operate without it.
No.
I couldn't.
Absolutely.
I can't operate without you guys. I can't operate without her. But getting it all started lined up together and making it happen is really, really beneficial. So what I would say to the agents out there, if you're missing a component, you need to partner with somebody that has the missing component. And if you're a lifestyle agent, you need to work more with a business. Let me give you an example. One of the most successful teams in our group is the Beans, right? You got Larry Bean and got Laura Bean, right? Well, Larry's a business guy. He's just flat out business guy. He knows what the hell he's doing. Now, Laura's out there. She's a lifestyle. Yeah, she's smart at what she does. So, but she's different than Larry. She's different than all of us, but she's different than Larry. But Larry's the business guy. She's that, and they do enough business to afford a back office that can support them. So that's the kind of partnership that people should be involved in, you know, in 2026. This is no place to go alone. So.
No.
All right. So we're at Bonarotti's, are having dinner, okay? And, yeah, Morgan and I were all buzzed because we just done the big party. And we're buzzing. And I look at Morgan, and I'm like, you know, what are you going to be? Do you want to cut deals and do this?
Oh, that was so right.
Or do you want to be sitting home with the kids? And then I said, this is me first, and I said, you want to do both, right? And as I was saying,
I go, cutting deals. And he goes, no, as I said, cutting deals, he goes, the answer's both. I was like, yeah, both.
Oh, yeah, I really want to have both. So I just had some, I don't know
what. He almost spit out his drink.
I'm telling you, Colby, I had to go like this. Because had I not gone like this, my dinner is on the mirror at Bonarotti's. Because it was so funny when she did that, I just went,
so we're talking about business, and I was like, oh, well, I'm glad Colby gets there with the kids right now, and this, and I, like, miss it, or this, and he's like, well, all right, but if you're kind of...
I didn't want to
say, oh, I know.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, and of course, I love my kids so much, and I love hanging out with them, but I do get very business motivated and go, go, go.
But anyways, we're at this party the other night, and there's got to be 100 little kids running around.
Crazy.
It's mass mayhem. And Sailor is grabbing me and walking me around and all that stuff. And so I'm like, Morgan, you know, you're getting. She goes, can you watch her for me? Just she goes like this.
I'm kind
of just watch her for a while. She looks at me and goes, I'm talking to somebody here. Like, I'm bothering her. You know what I did? I said, here, honey, you go see your mother, and I walked out.
You left. I just ghosted him.
I just took off.
Dude, we can't make it seem like I'm just, she's like, I pooped my pants. I'm like, it's okay, bye. You stink, get out of here.
You're running around with the other kids.
Go find your daddy.
But the Wendy Sailor conversation.
Oh, that was cute. Yeah, no, that was
cute. Yeah.
I know. I love my kids. They're so cute.
That's cute as you get.
Yeah, toss that out here. We're halfway through the marathon right now.
Yeah, we're halfway.
Are you guys halfway through?
We're halfway.
Oh, I tapped out 3 days ago.
We thought we had like one or two things left, then we get to talking all the way here, and it's like, oh, then,
like seven.
And then.
Literally, every day.
It's a good thing you're a day, it's a good thing you're a long distance runner. You know, you're not a sprinter. You really are built
this for is the apparent long haul, man. Yeah.
Both you guys are built for the long haul.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. I think we're good.
All right, guys. Well, cheers. We'll see you in the new year.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And this behind us is the actual scene in the Casey Sampson team office.
Oh, yes.
With Christmas trees and all over the place. It's a magnificent, spectacular. You did a great job.
I'm like, and if you want to see it, don't call me because
it's over.
It's over. Season's done.
See you in 26.
See you next year.
Thank you.